Well, this morning we're looking at John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. I want to read it for you this morning from the NIV Bible. And it's a story about the Pharisee named Nicodemus coming to the Lord. It says this, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and says, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israelites' teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I'm going to tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Amen. May God add a richest blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world is Major going to do this morning? Well, you see what I have here, right? It's a bottle of pop. And it's not an ad for a certain kind of pop. But this is an illustration, right? Marge, would you open that for me? Morris, you want to open that for me? Mabel? Nobody wants to open this? Why? Why? What's happening on the inside? What's happening on the inside? The pressure is building. What would happen if I went like this? What would happen if I did that? Mabel says I'd have to clean it up. There'd be a big mess everywhere, wouldn't there? There would be an explosion of pop all over the place. I'd just get Wayne to clean up. That's what it's like with God's love. God's love is just waiting to explode on each and every one of us. On each and every one. God loves you so much, my friends. God loves you. God came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world, to love you. I mentioned this before. God's name is stamped right in your very DNA. God loves you so much. I'm not going to drink that till a couple of hours later down the road. We've looked at John chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, being born anew, being born anew. God's love is just like that. He wants to share his love with you, so much so that if it were to be released on you, it would be just an explosion of his love into your heart and into your life, washing away every sin. washing away every sin. God's love is just like that. His love bursts forth. It gushes forward just like that pressurized bottle of pop. For all eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have been in a dance, an eternal dance of love. And it's known as the perichoresis. The perichoresis. Theologians have called this the perichoresis. They're linked together in an eternal dance of love. They have love, God for the Father, God the Son for the Spirit, and the Spirit for the Father, and the Spirit for the Son. They're embraced in an eternal dance of love. And that love is so powerful that God wanted to share his love with us so much that he created us and stamped his own name in our DNA. Check that out. The name of God, Jehovah, in the Slavic bridges of the double helix of your DNA, his name is stamped there. Perichoresis. God's love is so great, he wanted to share it beyond himself. So God created you. So the next time you open a bottle of pop, remember that. Remember, God's love is just waiting to burst on your life and your heart. But Nicodemus didn't get it. He didn't get it. Nicodemus is a Pharisee who comes to Jesus at night, possibly in secret. He was afraid of being seen by others. Maybe he definitely wanted to meet Jesus in person. We're not sure at this point if Nicodemus was coming to Jesus in sincere faith or he was just curious. Maybe a little bit of both. You see, the Pharisees of the day would come to Jesus in order to trick him, to trap him, to question him. But Nicodemus came with another motive. No matter what the motive was, Jesus was always approachable, wasn't he? He welcomed anyone who came with a question. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was distinctive and unique. Nobody else could perform all these signs and miracles unless he was of God. And he confesses to Jesus, no one could do this if God not were with him. And Jesus responded in verse 3. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now the Greek word here is anothen. Anothen. It has a couple of meanings. It means born again. Okay. Born anew. Or born from above. So Nicodemus takes the easy road and he goes directly to the physical realm. How can I enter again into my mother's womb to be, I'm so old, how can I do that? I'm not going to fit for one thing. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? You've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. If you were born and raised on a dairy farm, you could ask this question. How can a black cow eat green grass and produce white milk and yellow butter? And if you didn't believe it, are you ever going to say, I'm never going to drink milk again? Not going to do it? No, that's crazy. You accept it by faith, don't we? There's nothing like a cold glass of milk and a bag of chocolate chip cookies. That's one of my weaknesses. But I didn't do it this week, my darling. I'm trying to lose my COVID calories. But I don't understand. I don't understand the process, but I accept it by faith. And so Nicodemus had to accept this by faith. He immediately goes to the physical. How can I be born again? How can I enter my mother's womb? It can't be done. Well, no. We're talking about two different things here, physical and spiritual. And spiritual, you got to accept by faith. I don't understand it, but I accept it by faith. How is this new birth accomplished? We cannot inherit new birth. We cannot inherit, for one thing, God doesn't have grandchildren. Do you know that? God does not have one grandchild. My father is a beautiful Christian man, but because he's a Christian man does not make me a Christian. I was raised in a beautiful Christian home, but that does not make me a Christian, a born-again Christian. You cannot inherit eternal life that way. We have to come with a childlike faith before Jesus. We cannot work our way to God. The Bible says that salvation comes not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy that saves us, through the washing or regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It happens this way. First, we have to hear the word of the Lord. You have to hear the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. That's the first step. Now you have no excuse because you are hearing the word of God this morning. That's the first step. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It sounds as if it's foolish to them who don't get it. I can't believe that a black cow eats green grass, produces white milk and yellow butter. It's foolish. But you have to accept it by faith. Amen? Sometimes this word, the word of God, sounds foolish to ears of those who have not yet believed, but you've got to accept it by faith. Then there is the work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16, verse 8. He changes us. He changes our will, our affections, our objectives of living, our disposition. He gives us a new purpose and new goals. All things have passed away and everything has become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Then He indwells us. Do you now know that you are the temple of the living God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Does God the Holy Spirit dwell in you today? Scripture says, by their fruits you shall know them. People will say, well, I love God, I'm born again. But by the way they live and act and backbite and gossip and everything like that, it's no further from the truth. Couldn't be further from the truth. By your fruit, you will know them. By their fruit, you will know them. God says, Jesus Christ says, that we must be born again, born anew. How do we do it? How do we become born again? By repenting of sin. That means we are willing to change our way of living, changing our way of thinking, being made new by the renewing of your mind, Paul says. We say to God, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. That's it. Sounds pretty simple. Sounds pretty simple. Sounds pretty simple, and it's childlike. Then by faith we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master and our Savior, and we endeavor to live for Him for the rest of our days. We are willing to follow Him in a new life of obedience in which the Holy Spirit helps us as we read our Bible, we pray, and we study of Him. We get to know Jesus in that loving relationship as we talked about last week. Christ comes in by the power of the Holy Spirit and rewires our thinking and our life. And we become more and more and more like Him every day. After the born-again experience, our focus looks unto the crucified and resurrected Christ who now dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. Our life starts to look like the life of Jesus. We are daily crucified as we pick up our cross daily and follow Him. But we are resurrected daily into a life of purity, love, and joy. Outrageous joy. Do you know it? Do you know it this morning? We are like this now because we have entered the dance. We have entered the perichoresis. The perichoresis. We have entered the dance, the eternal dance of love with Almighty God, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Ken Percy. Hallelujah. Do you know it? Who's your dancing partner? Are you in that committed love relationship with Jesus? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? If you don't, then get to know Him. Get to know Him this morning. But Nicodemus really doesn't get it. He says, well, Jesus, how can this be? I don't get it. See, God loves a God-hating world. God loves a God-hating world. It's clear Nicodemus didn't get it. But you and I, we have over 2,000 years of church history, Bible study, and the New Testament to rely on. Nicodemus didn't get it. Not to mention the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. So Nicodemus asks a good question, really. How can it be that we are born anew? Like, not doctrinally, but in reality. How can I experience this renewal in my life practically today? I saw a phenomenal video, and I had to put it up on my Facebook page. The preacher was talking about the thief on the cross, getting ushered into heaven, and was met by the angel at the pearly gates. He said, the angel said, how did you get here? And the guy says, well, the guy on the middle cross said I should come. Hallelujah. And the angel says, well, don't you know anything about doctrinal issues? No, just the guy on the middle cross said I could come. Don't you know anything about church membership and paying your tithe? Well, no, no. The guy in the middle cross said I could come. Don't you know anything about transmutation, transfiguration? Don't you know anything about church history? Don't you know anything about eschatology? No. The guy in the middle cross said I could come. Have you been baptized? Have you been anointed with oil? Well, no. The guy on the middle cross said I could come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Do you know Him? Jesus responds by pointing to His own crucifixion. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that anyone who believes may have eternal life. in him. The guy on the middle cross said I could come. That is all we need. That is all you need. Jesus is referencing a story out of the book of Numbers, which Nicodemus would have been familiar with. You see, the Israelites were out in the wilderness, and they were trekking through the wilderness, and some of them were being bitten by poisonous snakes, and a number of them were dying. So God commanded Moses to create a bronze snake and lift it up. And anybody who looked upon this bronze snake, if he were bitten, he would live. So Jesus Christ references this story out of the book of Numbers. And so the man of God, man of Son of Man, must be lifted up. And anyone who believes the guy on the middle cross said I could come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus would say later, and I, when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all people to me. God so loved the world, hallelujah, that he gave his only begotten Son for you, for you, for you, for you, for me. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. What is even more mind-blowing than that is God loves us even when we hate him. When we hate him. Part of being born anew is seeing our Father through different eyes, seeing our Heavenly Father through different eyes for who he truly is, love, pure love. God loves the God-hating world, and Jesus died for it. He died for you and died for myself. He was lifted up, and he will draw all people to himself. A huge way we partner with God in this mission is to love our enemies. In fact, if we are living a Christ-like life, there is no one who is our enemy. There is no one who is our enemy. Why does God love a God-hating world? Jesus came to save the world, not to condemn it. So finally, here the gospel writer drops a zinger in when Nicodemus is a member of the ruling council, right? And the members of the ruling council was like this. They were here to condemn the world, not to save it. They came to condemn the world with all the rules and the regulations, but not to save it. If you were beat up on the side of the road, they would walk on the other side of the road so they wouldn't be ceremoniously unclean. They would leave you there to rot, condemning you all the way, all the while they walked around. But Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Can you see the shift? Can you see the shift that must have blown Nicodemus's mind? God is not going to condemn this world that he has made out of his love. The Greek word here for save is sozo. Sozo. It means to restore. It means to restore. To heal. To make whole. Jesus does not come to offer us some flimsy salvation that's activated only when we die and go to heaven. He comes to save us today. In this life. He comes to heal us today. He comes to restore us today. He comes to make us whole today. And that's the kind of salvation this world needs, amen? I know that's the salvation and restoration that I need every day of the week. I've been in the Christian walk many, many years, but I need God by my side every time I sit at my desk on a Monday morning after a glorious time together in worship on Sunday. And that's why Jesus came to do exactly that. He walks beside you every day, every step of the way. And all we have to do is accept him by faith as a little child. Oh, Lord, I know I've sinned, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Have you done that in your life? Have you done that? People who are looking in online this morning? Have you been made anew? Have you been born anew? If not, would you like to be? And I'm going to pray this simple prayer this morning. We've prayed it probably here before, and you've probably prayed it in your own hearts. But those of you online, if you'd like to pray it with me, accept Christ into your own hearts this morning as your personal Savior. Let's pray together. And pray this prayer along with me. Dear God, here I am. I come to you in simple, childlike faith. I realize that I'm a sinner who is in need of a Savior. And I know that I have sinned, and I am sorry, so deeply sorry. Please forgive me. I now accept Jesus as my Savior, and I vow to live for him for the rest of my days. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer with me, here or online, welcome to the family. You're now in the family of God. You are now my brother or my sister in Christ, a child of God. And remember from John chapter 8, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.